It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Well, friends, you are in the right place at the right time. I am delighted to have in our underground studios in the form of bomb shelter in a hidden location somewhere outside of Charlotte a very special guest. I'm delighted he's sitting here with me. And trust me, you don't hear this every day on Christian Talk Radio. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today on The Line of Fire. My special guest today is Matt Comer. He is a very accomplished young man. He's 23 years old, but he is already the editor of a newspaper, namely Q Notes, which is the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender newspaper of the Carolinas. In fact, I'm holding one of the issues where I was featured in my hand. Matt also has a chapter in a book edited by Mitchell Gold called Crisis, which tells the stories of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people and some of the trauma they experienced growing up. Matt is concerned that in some of the language that I use in my preaching and teaching, I could potentially be inciting violence. I, to the contrary, tell him no one's ever mistaken me in 37 years, but his articles could be the ones inciting violence. I said, hey, let's talk about it and air your concerns. So, Matt, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Brown, for inviting me up here. It wasn't too long of a drive from my office today. So
great. Now, where did you live before coming to Charlotte?
Grew up in Winston-Salem, but went to school at UNC Greensboro and then moved down here.
All right. And as far as your religious upbringing, were you a church boy?
I was. My whole entire childhood, conservative, fundamentalist Baptist church right outside of Winston-Salem.
And when you began to identify as gay, what types of responses did you get in the church circles you were in?
You know, the theology that I remember it goes all the way back. I remember being 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And the church that I went to is perhaps one of many places in religious circles,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Christian circles, that unfortunately is very hateful and is very violent, real calls to physical violence. I grew up hearing things my pastor said, things like put all the queers on a ship, pluck a hole into the side of it, and send it out to sea. Just about a year ago, my little brother, 14-year-old brother, went back, or he was still going to that church, and heard a guest pastor say that if you're a homosexual, I don't want you to come anywhere near me, I don't even want to shake your hands, and all gay people should be put on an island where they'll eventually be all die of AIDS. So that's the kind of upbringing that I had.
Man, horrific. It's, you know, the thing that's painful to hear is in all my years of church life as a Jewish believer in Jesus and all kinds of churches, many different states, and then all around the world speaking and then interacting behind the scenes with people at every kind of issue, I never once heard a single person share that sentiment, yet I don't doubt your story at all. Some folks may not know this, but May 6th of 2006, I got up at Marshall Park in Charlotte. There had been a gay pride event held there for several straight years. It was canceled. We took the park the same time. And I read a statement to the gay and lesbian community of Charlotte stating what we believed and why. But I also said this. We recognize that we have sometimes failed to reach out to you with grace and compassion, that we've often been insensitive to your struggles, that we've driven some of you away rather than drawn you in, that we've added to your sense of rejection. For these failings of ours, we ask you to forgive us. By God's grace, we intend to be models of his love. Matt, I want to ask you just a face-to-face question. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. You can click Contact Us to write to us. In particular, if you agree with Matt, if you share his sentiments, if you identify as GLBT, I would love to put you at the head of the callers. I'm not going to take too many calls because I want to get maximum time with Matt. But if you'd like to call in particular, if you feel that you are in Matt's side of the issue, please call 866-34-TRUTH. But Matt, I just want to ask you a face-to-face, honest question. We've interacted a bunch of times, privately, several public settings, in writing. Have you ever heard from my lips, in my speech towards you or the gay or lesbian community, anything that could be considered hateful, anything that was a stirring up violence or hatred towards you? Just be as candid as you can. We've interacted enough times.
You're right. We have interacted many, many times. You know, it was just about 2 years ago that we actually met first face-to-face at your church here in Concord. And you're right. You have never said anything that I think is a direct call to physical violence. And I've said as much in many of my writings, especially this week's writing on my personal blog, InterstateQ.com. But what I think my concern, well, I know what my concern is, and I think what the problem is that there is a thin line between this very violent, or what I see as very violent, militant, extremist language and rhetoric that you use, and the potential that other people take that and misinterpret it or misapply it, or perhaps people ignorantly are not able to distinguish between allegory that may be present in the Bible and the scriptures and real calls to violence.
All right, so here's where I would agree with the principle but differ with the application. Because I've been very careful in speech and writing for decades, I do scholarly research, I'm always debating, so I take my words very carefully. If there's ever a statement that I make that could be misconstrued, I'm always very clear to say this is exactly what I mean by it. I feel that you, by pulling words out of context and then putting them in a completely different context, are the one that's potentially inciting violence. You know, for example, as a result of a recent spate of articles that came out online, I got bunches of quotes like this. I decided to just take one salient quote. But as a result of some of the articles that have been spurned by some of your writings and others, here's some of the posts. Nail them all the crosses. This is talking about me and our people. And let the corpses rot as a warning to other Jesus pig people. Now, what's fascinating is when I do the interacting, I don't get those responses. People differ with me, but they're gracious to me. I've been interacting with some gay editors online, some printed apologies for things and corrections to other things in the last 2 days. But I feel that when you pull something out of context, because you have to admit, I've never said anything that could be taken in a certain way, that's what's provoking people. When and I'll let you speak in a second, but when you publish an article in your newspaper claiming that I'm calling for a holy war against homosexuals and then have a picture of me with my head stuck on the body of a Muslim terrorist with an AK-47, I think that's and in the article you say that I haven't said anything, you know, that I've, in your words, follow a careful script, you know, to speak with compassion. That to me is now scaring people and giving people a false impression, and that to me is a dangerous thing that you're doing that ought not to be done.
I want to go back to the comment that you read from one of the websites. First of all, it didn't come from my website. Certainly, it came from another one, and I believe that comment has been taken down on the website that you pulled it from. When I do the interacting with people, I don't get those kinds of responses either. We have to recognize that outside of this debate, there are people who certainly are not religious, and perhaps as much as I have been hurt by people in the Christian church, there are people who have been hurt and have a whole lot more pain and trauma going on in their lives because of it, a lot more than me. Mm-hmm. And so their reactions are going to be a lot stronger. You know, there are a lot of people who have been hurt by the church. And, you know, one of them is in the book Crisis, Jared Horsford. He went to an ex-gay ministry in Dallas, and he was abusing himself. He was cutting himself. And the folks there said that his cutting was a positive sign that he was fighting his desires. I think that's outrageous. So these responses that you get are more than likely coming from people who have been hurt, and I think you need to recognize that.
Oh, but bear in mind, I'm not in the least bit upset with the person. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is you put things in certain contexts others than on other websites, quoted them as if accurate, okay? Painting a very false picture of who I am and of what I believe. That then led people to these responses. That's why I'm always reaching out with such sensitivity, because I realize these hurt. And by the way, I don't want to gang up on you, but I could give you a boatload of stories about people hurt in the gay and lesbian community and people who sought to come out as Christians that really suffered a lot. But I want to make a statement, and then we come back after the break. I want you to comment on it. You wrote, "This time Brown's twisted logic won't be enough to save him from his own words. The disturbed and maniacal history of his verbally violent, militant, and extremist rhetoric serves as its own ironclad indictment. He can no longer hide or run from this history, and neither can he sweep it under the rug." I want you to explain why you wrote that. I take strong exception to it. We'll do that when we come back.
The Truth Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here with you with my special guest, Matt Comer, who is the editor of Q Notes, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender newspaper of the Carolinas. We have some clear differences, but I deeply appreciate Matt's willingness to sit down with me. I want to commend Matt for courageous stands he's taken. Of course, I feel he's on the wrong side of the issue, but he's a man of courage. He's a man of great accomplishment at the age of 23, and we're going to have honest, forthright dialogue. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. We are giving first preference to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender callers and or their allies. We may take some other calls, but we'll put others at the top of the list. I played Onward Christian Soldier, Matt, just to show how completely crazy it is for anyone to think that that's actually a call to go take up arms. It has to be massively misconstrued. In fact, a note here says, attempt was made in 1986 to remove Henry Christian Soldiers from the United Methodist hymnal due to its perceived militarism, so outrage among churchgoers caused the committee to back down. I mean, I say that as a new believer in Jesus. We all knew what it meant. It was spiritual images. And before the break, I read a quote to you that you took strong exception to, someone writing in on a website and saying, "Nail them all the crosses," speaking about me and others, "nail them all the crosses and let the corpses rot as a warning to other Jesus pig people." Matt, you yourself wrote in an article that came out a few days ago, "This time Brown's twisted logic won't be enough to save him from his own words. The disturbed and maniacal history of his verbally violent, militant, and extremist rhetoric serves as its own ironclad indictment. He can no longer hide or run from this history, neither can he sweep it under the rug." I feel those are very violent, ugly, inflaming, misleading words, unfortunate words, and really just as bad as this quote that you pulled. So please tell me honestly on what basis you felt it was proper to pen those words. I'm sure you did it with some thought.
I can't believe that you would honestly think that anything that I have written comes anywhere close to calling for putting Christians up on a cross and letting their corpse rot. Because if I were calling for that, then I myself would have to go up on that cross. So I think there is a big difference between anything that I've written. I don't call for people to be harmed. You say you love me, and I certainly love you as well. I think we can both say that we're brothers in Christ, however much we may disagree. We both believe in him strongly. I think the difference comes in our interpretation of the scriptures. I do not see the church as a military. I do not see as appropriate the use of very militant language to cause people, to stir people to action for Christ. That is not the church that I want to be a part of. And I think that if we take a look, a serious look at history, we can see that any time religion and violence has mixed at all, there have been dire, dire consequences, and the results have always been catastrophic. I think that if we were to go back and we were to look at the history of the Christian church, we would see the Inquisitions, we would see the Crusades.
Yeah, I've written about them.
We would see all of these horrible things. You know, the Christian church is probably just as guilty of as much murder and bloodshed as modern-day Islamic terrorists, and that's something we can't hide from. And I think that if we looked at it deeply enough, we'd find that people in those times, during the Inquisitions and Crusades, likely used Paul's militaristic allegory as justification for
it. So here's the problem I have. Your issue is not with me, it's with the New Testament. In other words, I quote New Testament language. Here, Paul writes this to Timothy: endure hardship with us as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul writes to the Ephesians: be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. On and on. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. The violent take it by force. These images are in Scripture because we're a totally nonviolent people. And Jesus gave us the key: judge the tree by its fruit. Okay? Watch the fruit of our ministry. Here's a picture, Matt, of a friend of mine baptizing someone in Pakistan. It's a friend of a friend of mine. You notice the man has no arms. They've been chopped off. As a Muslim, when he became a Christian, his arms were chopped off. We're not the ones taking up the sword. We're the ones having the sword come against us. When I tell a bunch of lambs, you know, let's run for Jesus, they're not thinking they're going to become birds. So, again, when you make reference to, quote, my verbally violent, militant, and extremist rhetoric, and then when you advertise that you'll be on the air and you say we've been covering the antics of Brown, Dr. Brown, I believe you're painting a very false picture. And I've asked you, give me one single quote, anything I've written, said, dealing with homosexual issues, where I call for anything other than gracious love and respect.
I think that question right there implies that I've said something that I haven't said. I've said many times that I don't believe you are calling directly for physical violence against LGBT people. I think we have to take your comments in a larger perspective. You are here in Charlotte, and you are... let me back up a little bit. And I want to get back to Paul and Scripture in a minute, so don't
Sure.
let me forget that.
I won't.
I want you to take a second to look at this whole situation from the perspective of LGBT people. Again, many of us have been hurt. Many of us have been extremely hurt mm-hmm. by the Christian church. You know, the suicide rates for LGBT youth are much higher
I know it.
Than their straight youth. And there are so many horrendous stories of folks who come out of churches and want absolutely nothing to do with God anymore. I think that's sad. So looking at this whole situation from our perspective, you can see that, you know, on a day that we've planned an event to celebrate our lives and who we are and our progress, conservative Christians, you know, folks who represent, at least in many people's minds, the very people who tormented them so much in their youth, these folks are declaring that they're going to come and surround our event with prayer. They're also have a history of using words like battle and holy war. And just a few weeks before this event, they invite a man who comes to their church, and he's talking about this movement and calling it a battle and a war, and he's calling for warriors to join him. And he talks about bombs, and he's making machine gun sounds with his noise. If LGBT people were doing the same thing and talking the exact same way and said they were going to come surround Fire Church in Concord, I think you'd have every right to be concerned.
Ah, okay, so here's the deal. The only way you can raise concern is not by quoting from my track record, not by quoting from our fruit around the world, and not by quoting from my actual words, but by taking other quotes out of context. So I'll continue to respond when we come back.
This is the Truth Radio Network.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, with my very special guest in the studio, Matt Comer, the editor of Q Notes, the GLBT, that is Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender newspaper of the Carolinas. Our discussion today, Matt feels that in books I've written in the past, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, things like that, by speaking about following Jesus by life or by death, that I am potentially inciting violence against the homosexual community. I've said to him quite plainly that every word, syllable we've ever said towards the homosexual community consistently, nationally, locally, in writing and face-to-face has been gracious and respectful. And the only sacrifice we talk about is sacrificial love. I feel his writings are the ones inciting violence. But I said, let's come on the air and air these things out. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, Matt, we want to come back to the biblical imagery. We don't want to skip that. But when you make reference to my antics, we've been covering the antics of Dr. Brown. I'm 54, you're 23. You're younger than our kids. Not only do I feel that that's totally disrespectful and beneath you, but it makes me think, okay, I'm dealing with two different people, because the Matt face-to-face would never say that. The Matt face-to-face would not say, I'm calling for a holy war against homosexuals, because you know I've never uttered such words. And to make reference to, quote, the disturbed and maniacal history of my, quote, verbally violent militant extremist rhetoric, so this is its own ironclad indictment, when you have to take writings in a totally different context, calling Christians to follow the example of Jesus and the example of Paul. Paul's the one that said he wanted to glorify Jesus by life or by death. Jesus said, if you find your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you find it. Believers around the world are suffering persecution. We have to follow Jesus by life or by death. That's like gospel 101 all over the New Testament. So it disturbs me that you have to take things out of context, twist them to scare people. It's one thing if I was getting up publicly and saying, we're calling for a holy war against homosexuals. All those gay, lesbian people, we're going to crush them. God forbid, if someone tried to attack you, they'd have to get to me first, and I'm a big guy. So I want to present something to you. You said, quote, this is September 20th, 2007. We had an open forum at our church, Can You Be Gay and Christian? I invited local gay clergy, gay-affirming clergy. They chose to boycott the event, but you, to your credit, came. And even more so to your credit, we gave you the mic to speak. You acquitted yourself well, and afterwards people talked to you, prayed with you, loved on you. You've admitted that publicly. But you said this to myself and other presenters. You had some very good points, and they were couched in very compassionate language. But for a person like me, throughout this whole thing, all I'm going to hear is the queers need to die. I contend that the issue is how you're hearing. And since I have a track record here in the city, there is no maniacal history of verbally violent militant extremist rhetoric. We have a history now of 30-something years of ministry with people serving the Lord around the world. I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people face-to-face, and never once has anyone ever decided to get violent after one of my messages. I think you have to process maybe you're hearing incorrectly, or maybe you're trying to take stuff and use it against me. Now, if it's from your own hurt background, all the more will I be gentle and have compassion towards you. But I believe the problem is not what I'm communicating, because I've been very clear for 5 years solid on this issue, but rather what you're hearing and what you're putting back out.
I think that's another instance in where you have to look at this from the perspective of LGBT people and not just me. I heard a story one time of an organist or a pianist at a church who for years and years dealt with the fact that he had or he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a conservative Baptist church. And he emasculated himself.
Mm.
This is the kind of real physical pain that is self-inflicted, yes, but self-inflicted because people are under this very hateful theology that maybe you haven't heard. And so that's the perspective that LGBT people have. Not all of them, but many LGBT people have. So again, I will say, when we hear folks get up and talk about bombs and talk about machine guns or make machine gun sounds, that's scary to a lot of people.
All right, so just to jump in, you had issues with me long before Lou Engel was coming to town to be part of our event, okay? You accuse me of certain things. So here's my question. And Roberta, hang on. We'll get your call in a minute here. But here's what I want to challenge. For 5 years steady, without exception, in public or in private, writing, on video, on the radio, you name it, my tone has been consistent. If I ever mention issues with homosexual activism, I tell people homosexuals are not our enemies. I tell them most people are not activists anyway, that these are people whom we love, for whom Jesus died, over and over and over, okay? So what could I possibly do any more than I've done to continue to speak the truth in love? In other words, I wrote something in a different context that you're wrenching out of context, just like wrenching scriptures out of context to try to misuse it and paint a false picture. I've consistently done a certain thing, and the people with me have consistently done a certain thing. So what else can be done? At what point do you say, okay, I'm misrepresenting him? You keep throwing things out to inflict more pain on people. I'm the one having differences with you, but trying to come with healing balm and with grace to say, let's sit down face to face and interact. If we can't agree, at least let's understand each other better. And you keep trying to create this false image of me, and I don't understand why you're doing it.
I think the first thing that you could possibly do and could have done was not invite Lou Engle. I think that's at least one clear example of something that you could have done. I think that it was highly inappropriate for him that night, I think it was, July 5th, for him to make machine gun sounds. You know, the Bible talks a lot about swords, but a machine gun and bombs,
but
tools of mass murder. Something that can be taken allegorically.
Forgive me for interrupting, but just because of the nature of what you're saying, go to fire-church.org and listen to Lou Engle's message, fire-church.org, okay, lest you think Lou was talking anything about other than spiritual.
I've got it. I can read the quote for your listeners.
Let him take the time to actually listen. But Matt, you never repudiated your article. You never publicly went up there and said that picture was completely inappropriate. I thought it was hysterical. I sent it out to friends because it was laughable. Okay, but whoever actually meant it to stir something up, that was one of the most ugly things. For someone who's been a man of peace and grace and reached out and personally sat with you and as many times said, we need to go for lunch, okay? I don't know what forces get behind you to put that stuff out, all right? But it's certainly not the same person that I deal with. So put aside the Lou Engle thing. Without Lou, there would be the same wild attacks coming against me and people believing all this kinds of crazy stuff. So I have consistently set one tone. You were there when the Harry Knox debate, where I publicly apologized again and said that the problem in America is the fault of heterosexual Christians. We have blown it. We've done far more than gay activists. So, you know, I've got thousands of hours of preaching, teaching. If you wanted to indict me, you could have caught me by now. So when we come back, Roberta will take your call. Matt, I want you to, again, think about this. I've set a certain tone consistently. Isn't it time that you recognize that and acknowledge it? Also, since you like Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi so much, I've got a couple of quotes from them I'm curious to know how you feel about. So Matt gets the next word when we come back. All right, if you're just tuning in, you missed a great first 45 minutes. I've got a very special guest and a very likable guy, actually. Matt Comer, sitting in the office, our studio here with me. Matt is a professing gay Christian, editor of the local gay newspaper, feeling that language and rhetoric I used in past books or messages could potentially stir up violent reactions against homosexual men and women and others, and I've told them it's only by grossly pulling things out of context, twisting my words, and denying everything I've said day in and day out for years and years and years that anyone could get that impression. I suggest that he's the one potentially stirring up violence. So we're having a healthy discussion. We'll get to some calls momentarily, but Matt, I asked you a sincere question before the break, and again, just wondering, I've had a certain tone, been a certain person, with everything I've said to you and the gay and lesbian community of Charlotte and beyond for years, Everyone that's interacted with me knows that. Behind the scenes, you won't hear me speaking any differently. Our students know that. We've produced gracious, caring Christian fruit from laborers around the world. That's who we are. We're followers of Jesus. We're nonviolent people. We don't take up the sword. We take up our cross. And I've asked you again, what could be done differently with my track record, with who I am, for you to finally say, okay, I've clearly repudiated anything you ever thought I could be associated with. Said that's misinterpretation. Isn't it time to say, okay, you're right. I see you as nonviolent, and I see your communication to the gay and lesbian community as nonviolent.
It's not time for that. But I've already said that I do not believe you are calling for direct calls for physical violence. I've already said that. And have, in my writings, quoted you where you said yours is a nonviolent movement. I don't doubt that yours is a nonviolent movement. This disagreement that we have has always primarily been about your language. You do still use this warlike mentality, and you have said that the book, you know, a lot of this debate has been around the book Revolution, The Call to Holy War.
Mm-hmm.
You have said that book continues to be an inspiration to people.
Sure.
In this Jesus revolution. I mean, and I think you'd admit that trying to reach out to LGBT people is a part of your Jesus revolution, is it not?
Sure, sacrificial love, exactly what we call for on page after page of that book. Lay your life down in love to help a hurting and dying world. Absolutely, that's the message of the book.
So the battle and warlike rhetoric that you use, that is a part of it. This outreach to LGBT people has something to do with this Jesus revolution that you're describing as a battle and a war, and I disagree with that. But whether or not you understand how I disagree with that or not, and I'll ask you a sincere question. I mean, I've given you the best answer I can give you, and my sincere question to you is, or it's not really a question, it's a statement. If you are not an LGBT person who has grown up in these situations, I don't think you will ever understand our perspective. I dearly, truly hope you will try to understand our perspective. Rodney Powell is a wonderful activist in the African American civil rights movement. He is black, and he said this: "Let me be clear. I suffered more fear and numbing anxiety from my secret, his secret of being a gay man, as a teenager, than I did from racism and segregation in the 1950s and 60s in Philadelphia." We know how bad racism and segregation was.
Right.
Everybody knows it. And for that fear and anxiety to be worse than that, that says a lot.
Exactly, which is why my tone, my language, my spirit has been so consistently gracious, reaching out, humble, overcoming wrong attitudes with good attitudes, befriending folks that have written against me, tell them when can we sit down and talk face to face, constantly doing exactly what I believe the Jesus example would have me do. You can misuse a word, okay? If you choose to misuse a word and convey that misuse to other people, fine. But if you want to be a peacemaker, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, what you should say is, I know Dr. Brown. Listen to what he says because that's what he means. No, instead, you say this, that I follow a carefully plotted and scripted message of compassion, love, and gentleness, but in reality, I'm a predator, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Those who agree with me are fanatics. You called me Fred Phelps without the signs. Matt, you know better. That's wrong. That's provocatory rhetoric. That is painting that's being a false witness. It's painting a false picture to other people, and you're doing it as a professing Christian on top of it. That to me undermines everything else you're saying because it's not true. God knows it's not true, and if you know me well enough, you have to know it is not true. All right, Roberta, you've been hanging on forever. As soon as we come back from the break, you're first up, and thanks so much for holding this long.
Truth Radio Network.
Hey, folks, good news. Matt has consented to stay on a little bit for our next hour, so we're going to get to continue this discussion. Michael Brown here with you. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. Friends, if you have not yet watched my 7.5-minute video about our God Has a Better Way rally on Saturday, go to our homepage, askdrbrown.org, and the video is right there for you to watch. All right, let's try to take one call. Roberta in Mooresville, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you very much, Dr. Brown. How are you today? Nice talking with you again.
Nice talking with you. I thought I knew who it was. Thanks for the call.
You do know who it is, Dr. Brown.
All right, great. I do. Thank you.
Yes. I've never heard you threaten or be violent, whatever else, but what I do hear from you and directly from you is that you deny a person that is LGBT can be a Christian, and I can't understand it as a Christian, how you cannot open up your doors and be welcoming rather than saying, oh, you're LGBT, you cannot be a Christian. It's against Christianity. I cannot understand that.
Well, that's a fair question, and thanks for recognizing what my tone has been. We shared the platform or forum anyway at Queen's University last October together. That's where I had the pleasure of meeting you, and we've interacted a little bit online. So do you believe that there are any practices of any kind or any ongoing sins that we can commit of any kind that will declare that we are not Christians, that will disqualify us from being Christians?
The first one is denying a person that says he is a Christian, possessions that the person is a Christian, gives their personal testimony as a Christian, and then I don't know where you get the dominion to deny a person a Christian. Why aren't you welcoming, like any Christian should, another brother and sister into the fold?
All right, well, let's say, for example, someone came in and they were a murderer, right? And they had not repented of being a murderer. Let me just finish. John says that no murderer has eternal life. Then, for example, in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul gives a list of different sins and says, don't be deceived, the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Among those are adulterers and alcoholics and things like that. It says that's what you used to be, but you were changed. If someone comes in and gives a testimony and says, I'm a follower of Jesus, I love the Lord, I'll take him at his word or her word. But then if I find out that person is living in adultery, I'm going to confront them. And if they don't repent, then I know they're not one of his.
Roberta, can I jump in? This is Matt.
Yeah, we've got about a minute. So go ahead, Matt.
Everything you've just said, Dr. Brown, comparing my love for a partner that I may have, you've compared it to murder, you've compared it to adultery, you've compared it to alcoholism. Each of those three things and more, you could bring up other comparisons. When you kill someone, you hurt them. When you're an alcoholic, you are hurting your family. When you are an adulterer, you are not being fair to the person that you're having adultery with, and you certainly are hurting your partner. My love for a partner does not hurt me. It does not hurt him. It does not hurt my family. It doesn't hurt anybody. You can't compare those.
Yeah, well, here's why I'd compare them. And unfortunately, we're run out of time. Roberta, I appreciate the call. Let's stay in touch, okay? Matt, quick response, but we get to take this up on the other side of the break. I didn't make the comparison. Paul did. Paul put homosexual practice explicitly in the Greek. And if you like, we'll pull out any of my 25 volumes of Greek lexicography here. Paul explicitly put homosexual practice in the same list. I would contend, Matt, and you get to take this up with me when we come back, that when we violate God's order, we hurt ourselves and we ultimately hurt others, and God does have a better way. Hey, friends, thanks for being with us. Back with more.
The Truth Radio Network.